title of the message this morning, for those who are taking notes, is this. A very short one. V-O-D Day. V-O-D Day. Now on Friday, last Friday, in an apparent, and I don't apologise for saying this, in an apparent different rule for some, it would seem, VE Day was celebrated outside by many. In an apparent different rule for others. Now don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong for one second. I mean no disrespect towards the brave men and women caught up in the Second World War on both sides. But what seemed to me, as I watched a video sent to me even yesterday on my phone, a video was sent on my phone of the famous red arrows in the sky. The red arrows, Air Force planes, stunt planes, flying in the sky, forming a V sign in red, white and blue. What occurred to me was how once again, the worldly people have nothing to hold on to for hope or confidence except in such things. That's their hope. Why do you think governments and organisers of such celebrations foolishly said to people, get out there and celebrate? Because they think that's going to raise the spirits of people. That's going to fill people with assurance and hope and comfort and joy. And I'm not surprised. It also occurred and seemed to back up what I have been telling you, and I'm boring people to tears, but I have been telling you for weeks now. There is one rule for the world and another for the true church of Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example. An example, hypothetical. Just suppose that on another day, say today, a small group, I use the words deliberately, a small group of God's elect gathered outside at a sufficient distance and sang praises to our all-victorious Redeemer, our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would that be allowed? What would the response be? I'll leave that with you. But it's interesting how, in systematically going through a book of the Bible, the events in this world lend themselves and give illustrations which are quite applicable. As I've entitled today's message, VOD Day. And you might wonder why. Well, the Apostle Peter here in our text has been saying, particularly in verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables, stories. Cunningly devised, yet plausible stories. when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he goes on today. He goes on as we look further in verse 16 to 18. We see that the apostle, by God the Holy Spirit, is showing us the foundation, the comfort, the assurance, that all that he is saying now is true, what it is based upon, what foundation it is based upon, is based upon this. V-O-D day. This day that we celebrate right now. Resurrection day. Victory over death. And it occurred to me yesterday, sitting in the backyard, looking up at the sky. Oh, that the people, instead of looking up at the red arrows, instead of looking up at displays, instead of looking to things in former years, if only they looked, as the Lord says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. They looked to the one who has overcome death itself, the greatest victor of them all. Now, firstly, today we see, as we continue to look at this defence made by the Apostle Peter, that indeed shows that his message, his gospel that he proclaimed, had true foundations, that was not made up. It was not a fable. It was not a cunningly devised story to deceive many. We see firstly today, this Saviour they set forth, for he uses the term we, because he speaks not just of himself, he speaks of the other apostles also. And he also speaks of those who were appointed by the apostles. This Saviour they set forth before the hearers of the gospel, the good news they proclaimed. They witnessed and experienced and were very close to the Christ, the Son of the Living God, who came in great power, he says. In great power. They made known to the people the coming of the Lord Jesus in power. In power. It is as the Apostle John tells us. It is exactly this. It is as the Apostle John says in 1 John 1. We handled that which was from the beginning, the Christ, the Son of the Living God, God the Son. That which was from the beginning, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. our hands have handled. What a precious statement that is. They have handled tangibly God manifest in the flesh. Not as the false Gnostics were leading people astray with, that Christ was this one who just appeared, who never took any flesh. They handled the Saviour. Those men on the road to Emmaus, he broke bread with them, and they saw the imprints of the nails upon his hands. They handled him. Thomas, who doubted for a season because he was not with the whole company who Jesus appeared to at first. When Jesus said to him, "Handle me. Be not unbelieving, but believing." Who did he declare that he handled? "My Lord and my God." Such things are too wonderful to behold. That these men handled the Son of God. We see, as John says again, that we handled, verified by contact. That's what it means. Verified by contact. Verification that he was true. Him who is the essential Logos, the Word. The Word that he speaks of in his Gospel. Him who was in the beginning. Who was in the beginning with God. With God. But not only with God. Who was God. John 1:1-2. This one they witnessed. They witnessed to the people. As they walked and talked with this one. These were not idle tales. They walked and talked with and were such as dealt intimately with him as his disciples. They were of the privileged band that the Lord Jesus revealed such truths to. Blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears, because it's been appointed for you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. They beheld from his wondrous miracles, which no mere man could have done or equaled, his coming in great power. They witnessed those amazing miracles at certain times where everyone else was put out and only the disciples did behold. And the people had to acknowledge, even those who doubted who he was, had to acknowledge, no man can do such things unless God be with him. They saw him heal the lame and give sight to the blind. He raised even the dead before them. "Lazarus, come forth." They beheld those words and they beheld the man Lazarus coming forth, bound in grave clothes, set free from a grave that he had been in 4 days. This inner band of disciples, Peter, James and John particularly, were permitted to go in and behold the raising of Jairus' daughter. And also see the great authority Peter had for his testimony in writing these words as a true apostle of God, raised up of God. The risen Lord Jesus appeared to him 3 days after he was crucified on the hill of Golgotha to redeem chosen sinners. Yet for many who make accusation that the resurrection of the Saviour is mere idle tales and plausible, cunningly crafted, devised fables, God's word speaks with authority. God's word speaks clearly. God's word speaks to the condemnation of such. God's word says, even to such as protested the truth of the gospel in those days, and gives testimony that is hard to refute. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, said to such, I challenge you. You who say such things are not true, just ask these witnesses. Just ask them. I remember having a conversation with a dear friend of ours. We haven't seen them in a while, but when we met with them, I think I shared with you last year. We met with them last summer, and this man's always sceptical, and he's always trying to... I don't know what it is he's trying to do. I think maybe he just wants to know what it is we believe. And he says, well, you can't really prove any of these things. And these things were written down by men, whatever. And I remember God graciously led me to this amongst many other passages to point them to. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And see what God the Spirit tells us here. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. All according to the prophets. All according to what was foretold. All according to what was promised by the Lord in the Scriptures of truth. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over one or two. Over 500 brethren at once. 500! But not just 500, over 500! But here's the key to the mockers, even of the day there, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. God's word challenged these people. You don't believe the preaching of the word? Hear the testimony of those who have first hand seen and beheld the risen Lord Jesus. Many who beheld what took place when he was rejected and he was condemned to die and he was crucified and he was buried. And many beheld the risen Lord Jesus We see also Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, where he gives the reason why he wrote his gospel. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It is easy, in one sense, to mock and scoff and deny. But it is not easy, and cannot be indeed, proved that such mocking and scoffing and denial can shut this gospel up. Because you see, the testimony, the eyewitness account, God's word deafens all denial. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, and the challenge must be given even today, can so many people be so wrong? Can so many people be so wrong? Secondly, think on this. How amazing, how truly amazing, how overwhelming must have been the sight that Peter, along with James and John, did behold in that mount. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17, of which he most certainly points us to in the text. Matthew chapter 17. Many of you will know that in Scripture, numbers are very important. They have a meaning. And the number 7 always points to perfection. The perfect work of God. His perfection. And isn't it interesting that we read at the very outset here, now after 6 days, after 6 days Jesus took Peter, James and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. After 6 days. On the seventh day of perfection. Of all things being perfect. The seventh day in which God rested because all things were very good. On the seventh day that we read of in Hebrews 4. That even from the foundation of the world, all his works were completed, even the redemption of his people. And after 6 days, he's about to reveal a wonder to them. And he was transfigured. He was transfigured. His appearance was completely changed before them. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his eye and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Moses, who indeed pointed to the law of God, and the condemnation of sin by that law, and Elijah pointing to the prophets of God. All which pointed to Christ. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. That's the gospel message. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Then as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one. Tell the vision to no one. Why would he say that? Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. This Jesus must have been, this Peter must have been overwhelmed, as indeed James and John, when they beheld what they beheld on that mount. As he most certainly draws our attention here. Such visions as were given to them, as indeed the Apostle Paul speaks of when he was drawn up into the third heaven and beheld such things as were not lawful to speak. They are unspeakable, leaving the witnesses to some degree grasping and desiring to have the words, to even have the words which best can do justice and relate such wonders, such glories, such majesty, and such awesomeness. John, one of those blessed men who were permitted to view the Saviour with a glimpse of his fullness as the Son of God, says these familiar words in John 1:14. Although we must not be over familiar with the words, so as to miss just how great and how wonderful a truth is being conveyed to us in them. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us never, never, never take these words so over familiar that we cease to meditate upon it, the wonder of them. Peter here in our text, as John speaks, not just of that amazing event, when the voice declared to them from God the Father, from heaven itself, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. As we said last time, such things are hard to imagine and make up. And see from those words in Matthew 17, see the impact having such an encounter had upon these men. And how God's words in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, when truly received in the hearts of men, has an effect. Always. What do we read here? When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. There is true reverence and godly fear. Always. When the gospel truly brings new life and conviction of sin, there is reverence and godly fear. There is repentance. And so the question is, how do you view the Word of God? Do you treat it as it is, holy, and that you must submit and bow before what he declares to you in it? You who know not God, will you heed? Will you hear his command to hear his Son in the gospel? Thirdly, we see here in verses 17 and 18, as we look more particularly at the encounter on the Holy Mount, where Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, namely Peter, James and John. The apostle points us to the event recorded for us. And he points us to this fact, that it directs us now to the greatest victory ever won. That it points us now to this great event where on only one of three occasions God recorded for us in his word, at least, that God the Father spoke in an audible voice from heaven to his disciples. But most importantly, in speaking to his Son, he was heard. Peter points the hearers to the truth of this gospel message and its authority as coming direct from the Almighty. And we must never shirk from that. We must never move from that position. That this message we proclaim is not merely a message handed down from forefathers. It is. But where did they receive it? It came directly from the Almighty. To this, Peter makes his plea of the evidence to the faith being truth personified then. For see what the Lord Jesus commanded Peter, James and John as they came back down the mountain. And these words never really hit me before. And grasp the importance of them right now. He says in verse 9 of Matthew 17, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Why were they not to tell of the words they heard in the mount until then? Why were they not to go far and wide and say, we do not understand it, we do not comprehend it, but we heard a voice from heaven. Surely it was God Almighty proclaiming, this is my only begotten Son, hear him. Why were they not to go and declare it right then? Because of what the resurrection of Christ declared for all to see. You see, the apostles went everywhere. The disciples of Christ went everywhere, we read in the book of Acts, preaching the resurrection. Here is the importance. We see at the very beginning, words which perhaps can get passed over very easily when reading the beginning of the epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's why Jesus said, do not declare this until I am raised again. And there's another reason, you see. These men were emboldened now with resurrection power. These faint-hearted men who ran away when the Lord was crucified were emboldened now to lay down their lives for this message now with power from on high. For after Jesus was raised from the dead, he commissioned his disciples to proclaim this truth. And he promises them in Acts 1, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so, to those Peter speaks to here, and to all who read these words and hear these words, they receive the word in the power of God Almighty, the Holy Spirit. That's where these words came from. And that's by whom the word was conveyed. And you who know the Saviour, you who truly are born of God, you received the gospel not as the word of men, not as something that could easily be just made up as a fable, but you received it as in mighty power, the good news of Christ's victory over death, having redeemed you at the cross. It was, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in cleverly worded statements, in crafted intellectual words, in fables, which easily deceive. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Do you know this power? Do you know the power of God to save? Has such a power been revealed to you even now? To you, that you must, and you feel compelled, that you must hear Christ and his gospel, who has spoken in these last days. Then you will believe, and you must believe. The Church of Jesus Christ can now proclaim this truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, with great confidence, with great assurance, with great comfort of hope, yes, with great power. For he has overcome death. Death is swallowed up in victory. He is risen. This day, the Lord's Day, we unashamedly celebrate VOD Day. Victory over death. Amen.